Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Yes, it is indeed a message for today. I believe in giving meat in due season, so I attempt to do that. Okay. So, from the earliest days of man until the end times in prophecy, Yahweh places great importance on overcoming. So what do we need to overcome? And how can we do it? And then why do we need to overcome? We'll look at those three elements of overcoming. And let's start with the first incident of overcoming in Scripture. I think it's in Genesis 4, verses 6 to 8. Genesis 4, 6. So Yahweh said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted?" That's another opportunity for Cain. "And if you do not do well, sin lies in wait at the door. And its desire is for you, but you should overcome it. You should rule over it." We know that Cain did not rule over the sin. His bitterness and his weak character carried him on to murder his brother Abel. I believe that murder occurred on Passover day at about 3 p.m. That's just a personal opinion. I have no scripture to back that up. There's a message in the days of unleavened bread about overcoming, and we find that in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7. "Therefore, clean out the old leaven, so that you are a new lump, as you are unleavened. For also the Messiah, our Passover, was offered for us. So then, let us observe the festival, not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of evil and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." So what does Yahweh expect us to overcome? Well, to overcome means to subdue or to conquer. And the Greek word is translated overcome, prevail, and get the victory. So over what must we get the victory? Yahshua is our example. What did he overcome? On Passover night, he said in John 16:33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have shalom. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." What is this world that Yahshua overcame? He explains it in a parable and found in Mark 4, beginning at verse 18. Now, this is the parable of the sower, and it's a parallel passage to Matthew 13. Mark 4, 18. "Now, these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." When he said the world, Yahshua was not talking about desires for mountains, forests, lakes, and fields. He was talking about the city. The city, as in Lot's dwelling place, Sodom. The city, Babylon, that we see in Revelation 17 and 18. The city, as that's where the money is and the fun. Today, you don't have to go to the city to be in the city. I live in the country, and I have neighbors, and I'm sure they have the city in their living room. A couple of hundred channels of city that they can watch in any time they want. Israel thought the world looked pretty good. They wanted a king like the nations surrounding them in the world. In 1 Samuel 8, we read about that, beginning at verse 19, 1 Samuel 8, 19. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, Yahweh's prophet, and they said, "No, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles." Well, they got their king, but that first king, Saul, didn't work out at all. David was the next king, and he was much better than Saul, but he was a man of war. And his son, King Solomon, started out really well. Remember, he asked Yahweh to give me wisdom to govern your people. But Solomon ended up yielding to the world in a big way. We have a few examples. This from Ecclesiastes 2:12. Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes. He said, "Then I turned myself to consider wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do who succeeds the king?" That's me, Solomon. "Only what he has already done." In other words, no one can ever be greater than I am. Contrast this with the loving words of Yahshua in John 14:12. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father." So Yahshua was executed. He knew that would happen. He went to the Father, and he sent the Holy Spirit, Ruach HaKodesh, to help us. And greater works are done because of the Spirit being with us. Solomon also showed his worldliness in this verse, Ecclesiastes 10:19. "A feast is made for laughter, and wine makes merry, but money answers everything." He says money is the answer to all problems. And just think, he used to be the wisest man. Now he's a politician. No wonder the kings of Israel got worse after Solomon died. Paul sums it up in Romans 12, verse 2. "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you prove what is that good and well-pleasing, perfect desire of Elohim." Renewing our mind is an idea worth pursuing. Well-pleasing to Yahweh and perfect, worthy goals for sure. Overcoming the world, the city, is not something that you have to go to the city to do. You can do it at home, like I said, right in your own living room, reading your Bible, praying, loving your family, and so forth. It happens in your heart by using Yahshua's love. One thing we definitely need to overcome is evil, especially in the person of Satan. We know that we have powerful, evil enemies. Paul tells us in Ephesians 6:12, "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places." Even when it looks like we are in contention against evil people, we may be sure that there is a higher power behind it. And also, sometimes when things get difficult for us, Yahweh's behind it. And I've experienced that. Things seem to be going poorly, and it affects my life, and I have a change. and due to the change, I'm much better off. Everything really does work together for good to those who love Yahweh. Paul calls faith our shield in Ephesians 6:16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now, these darts look a little bit like the thorns we talked about before in Mark 4:18. So, how can we overcome? We have the command to overcome the world and the evil people and evil spirits, but is there a way to do it? Has Yahweh given us the tools to get it done? There must always be a way to overcome. We have that promise in 1 Corinthians 10:13. Paul wrote, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But Yahweh is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." That's an excellent scripture to bear in mind, especially in this context of overcoming. If we ask in Yahshua's name, we can overcome the strongest enemies. Here's a verse about young men who have overcome the wicked one in 1 John 2:14. 1 John 2:14. "I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of Yahweh abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one." Hallelujah. Having the word of Yahweh abiding in us. Good tool. How did these men do it, these young men? Here's a verse that gives you a clue. 1 John 4:4. "You are of Elohim, little children, and have overcome them." That's the false prophets he's talking about. "Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." So if we have Yahshua and Yahweh abiding in us, we can overcome these things. He says little children can overcome by having Yahshua in them. Yahshua told us about the power of his presence within us in John 15, beginning at verse 4. "Remain in me, and I will remain in you." This is in the context of the parable of the vine and the branches, John 15:1. Okay, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a person remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned." Uh-oh. "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you." He also told us about the power of doing good works in Matthew 5:42-45. "Give to him who asks of you, and to him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who use you spitefully and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Matthew 5, 6, and 7 are full of similar statements that teach us what good things we ought to do and that bring us to salvation. And consider the power of these verses. Romans 8, this is the scripture we were talking about a minute ago, beginning at verse 28. And we know that Elohim causes all things to work together for good to those who love Elohim, who are called according to his purpose. And then drop down a few verses to verse 31. What then shall we say of this? If Elohim is for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. Once again, Paul summed it up nicely in Romans 12:21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. An unconverted person's first reaction is to fight against someone doing evil things to them. But a converted person is yielded to Yahweh and has active faith. Therefore, he will answer the evil with goodness, humility, and love, which he receives from Yahweh through Yahshua the Messiah. The answer of helping and lovingly supporting learned from Yahshua can and does overcome the evil. We must overcome these worldly attitudes, just as Yahshua did, and here's how we can do it. It's in 1 John 5, beginning at verse 4. Whoever is begotten of Elohim overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith, our belief. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Yahshua is the Son of Elohim? Part of Yahshua's relationship with the Father is the love Yahshua learned from him. John 15, beginning at verse 9. John 15, 9 and 10. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will stay in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and stay in his love. That word abide, where he says abide in my love, abide can mean to live. So if you live in Yahshua's love, you have a great advantage in overcoming. Our faith in Yahshua is the tool we need to overcome worldliness. This faith has to be an active faith, as explained by Jacob or James. Our living, active faith is the way, the method that Yahweh provides for us to overcome the world. This is the humble righteousness of Yahshua who lives within us. And we can also look at James 2, verses 14 to 17. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can such faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. So the tools Yahweh has given us to overcome are to ask for Yahweh's help, let the loving Yahshua live in us, and do good to others as commanded, and to have humble and righteous faith. So why should we overcome? Well, the rewards for those who overcome are extremely rich. All the best fruits of salvation are included. Look at the Spirit, look at what the Spirit tells the congregations in Revelation chapters 2 and 3 about those who are overcoming. Keep reading these chapters 2 and 3. Yahshua really puts it in perspective in Matthew 16:26, where he says, "What profit is it of a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" And it goes farther than that. What will a man give in exchange for his family? Or in exchange for a relationship with Abba Yahweh and Yahshua? Revelation 2:7 is one of these sayings of Yahshua to the congregations in Asia. Revelation 2:7, "To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of Elohim." Now, the tree of life has not been seen by mankind since Adam and Eve were expelled from the garden. The phrase is used a few times in Proverbs, but it's only a metaphor there. We find it for real only in the New Jerusalem. And we read about that in Revelation 22, the first two verses. "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of Elohim and from the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." Hallelujah. And then dropping down to Revelation 22:14, "Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city." That's good news. Back to Revelation 2, verse 11, "He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death." Doesn't that mean that those who fail to overcome will be struck down by the second death? The second death is eternal death from which no one is resurrected. In Revelation 21:8, we read about that. It says, "The cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." And in Revelation 2:17, for another word to the congregations, Yahshua says, "To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it." The hidden manna was put into the Ark of the Covenant by Moses and Aaron. Manna is amazing stuff. If you left it overnight almost any day of the week, it rotted and stank. On Sabbath, it would keep just fine overnight. And in the Ark of the Covenant, where Moses put it, it would keep forever. That would be great to have a taste of that manna from the Ark. But that, I don't believe, is the manna that Yahshua promised. He told us in John 6, verse 48, "I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." I believe that this is the hidden manna Yahshua meant for us to partake in the kingdom. We are to have an intimate relationship with our elder brother, Yahshua. In Revelation 2:26, we find another word to another congregation. Revelation 2:26, "He who overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, to him I will give power over the nations." power over the nations was a frequent topic Yahshua talked about during his ministry. For instance, in Matthew 24, beginning at verse 45, Matthew 24, 45, "Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods." And in Luke 22, verses 28 to 30, Luke 22, 28, "But you," the 12 disciples that he was talking to, "are those who have continued with me in my trials, and I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." And then we can go back to Revelation. Now we're in chapter 3, beginning at verse 5. Yahshua says, "He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." The white garments Yahshua promised are the wedding garments for his bride. And we read about that in Revelation 19, beginning at verse 7. Revelation 19, 7 and 8. "Let us be glad and rejoice and give him esteem, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready." That's us. "And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." And we can have those righteous acts to clothe us in white because Yahshua makes us clean and forgives us of our sins. Revelation 3:12, "He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my Elohim, and he shall go out no more, and I will write on him the name of my Elohim and the name of the city of my Elohim, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my Elohim, and I will write on him my new name." Yahshua's new name? He's getting a new name. The two pillars of the temple are named Jason and Boaz in 1 Kings 7:21. Jason means established by Yahweh, and Boaz is the foundation of the line of David, the line of the kings. Good company to be in, I'd say. Going out no more reminds me of Psalm 23:6. "I will dwell in the house of Yahweh forever." The name of Elohim on them refers to Revelation 22:4, where they see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. The New Jerusalem is described in Revelation 21, and that's worth reading. That's a remarkable new city that Yahshua is preparing for us. We see in Hebrews 1:4 that Yahshua will receive a great new name, having become so much better than the angels. That's Hebrews 1:4. As he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they, the angels. To see that new name, we can read these verses in Jeremiah 23, 5 and 6. "Behold, the days are coming, says Yahweh, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall rise and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name by which he will be called, Yahweh our righteousness." In Hebrew, that's Yahweh Tzidkenu. And back to Revelation 3, now in verse 21, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. To be seated on his throne with Yahshua is an exclusive privilege. Only about 144,000 other people will sit there. I make a little joke there, but I don't mean to diminish the importance of this position. We are to be joint rulers with Yahshua and will have great power and responsibility. For this, we must be prepared. Overcoming is an important part of that preparation. Remember Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or demonstrate or show what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of Yahweh. We must walk in Yahweh's paths. Doing that will show the value of using Yahshua's strength and example. Both we ourselves and others who know us will be able to increase our faith and our hope when we see that spiritual success of a person who is overcoming the world. The last gift for those who overcome is surely the greatest. We find that in Revelation 21, verse 7. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his Elohim, and he shall be my son. Hallelujah. To have an everlasting personal relationship with Yahweh as his beloved son is truly a prize worth any effort. Now, in conclusion, he said as they packed up their books and got ready for lunch, we have seen the encouragement of Yahshua to the seven congregations in Revelation 2 and 3. Every one of them was commanded to overcome, to gain the wonderful prizes. Overcome Ephesus, overcome Smyrna, overcome Pergamos, overcome Thyatira, overcome Sardis, overcome Philadelphia, overcome Laodicea. Seven congregations commanded to overcome. We have been given the challenge of overcoming also, getting the leaven of sin out of our lives, conquering and winning the struggles against the pulls of the world, against evil powers from above and from below. We have also been given the tools and weapons that we need in order to accomplish those goals and win that spiritual battle. If we remain in him like the branch remains in the vine. What we must overcome is the world for sure. But we each have to overcome our own personal weaknesses. Sin, lust, pride, whatever it is for each one of us. Our mission is to overcome and get pure, humble, and loving enough to be ready to take our position in the kingdom and family of Yahweh. The prize is great beyond our imagination. So steel yourself for the battle. Take up the powerful spiritual weapons that Yahweh provides. I'd like to give you some secondhand encouragement in this regard. It was used before when Yahweh wanted to encourage Joshua the general. It's found in the first chapter of Joshua, Joshua 1, beginning at the first verse. It happened after the death of Moses, the servant of Yahweh. Yahweh spoke to Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, "May my servant Moses is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I give to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I have given that to you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your border. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Now he comes to the hard part for Joshua. Be strong and of good courage, for you shall divide an inheritance to this people, the land which I swore to their fathers to give it to them. Only be strong and very courageous, so that you may be careful to do according to all the law which my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may act wisely wherever you go. Yahweh's law can help us to act wisely in every case. This book of the law shall not depart from out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall act wisely. That's a message to us, brothers. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, neither be dismayed. For Yahweh, your Elohim, is with you in all the places where you go. With Yahweh's help, Joshua was able to be a mighty conqueror. He led the Israelites to seize the land from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea, and from the desert in the south to Lebanon in the north. They conquered and drove out many people. How can we compare? We struggle against more frightening foes. They threaten our eternal life as well as our physical life. They threaten our relationship with Yahweh and with Joshua. But we do not need to let them have that victory and win that battle. Romans 8:37 says, "No, in all things we are more than conquerors, more so than Joshua the general, through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Yahweh, which is in the Messiah Yahshua, our Master." Be one of those who overcomes. Cast out that old leaven of sin. Follow Yahshua's banner forward to the victory and to a place in the New Jerusalem with Yahweh and Yahshua forever. If you'd like to stand, I'll read a few verses from the book of Numbers. Numbers 6:22. Yahweh spoke to Moses and said, speak to Aaron and to his sons and say to them, this is how you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, Yahweh bless you and keep you. Yahweh make his face to shine on you and be gracious unto you. Yahweh lift up his countenance toward you and give you shalom. Thus they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I myself shall bless them. Praise Yahweh. Hallelujah.